It's time to bring in Dr. Wes Crenshaw here and also Joe Becker.
Good morning.
We are here, are we not? So
we've been brought in.
We are in. So what we were going to talk about today is the thing we're all in right now is media.
Okay.
And how does anyone know that anything we're going to say today is true? Any guesses?
Oh, I'd say that there's a pretty good chance that, you know, it's not. It's
probably not.
Right? We're fake news, aren't we?
So if we tell them up front that it's not true, then we know. Well, the thing that's been interesting in the last few years, and it's kind of good and bad. Kids are, and I'm going to call kids people age, I don't know, 11 to 25.
Okay.
It's a pretty broad range.
Sure.
But young people have become much more interested in news. And as much as we all want to throw their iPhones up against the wall sometimes, believe me, I have that feeling. They're so locked into them. They do, a lot of times, consume a lot of information.
Yes.
If you really wanted to get information into kids, putting it through Instagram or Twitter or a bunch of Facebook occasionally is a pretty good way to do it.
Well, that's true, although that sort of brings up the whole thing is that their sources for news are so much different from what they used to be.
Yes.
And there's not as much of an oversight on what, you know, like I said, that you, like you said, they get a lot of their news from, say, Twitter or Instagram or somewhere like that. And it's not like there's some sort of a, you know, an oversight group fact-checking. Even Wikipedia is full of errors.
Yeah. And, it's interesting. Wikipedia has come a long way. Mm-hmm. I actually am a bit of a defender of it, but not because largely because it follows a lot of the principles that I think need to be followed, like challenging things. People will write a note on Wikipedia that says, you know, this has not been documented. This needs to be updated, or come in and put alternative perspectives on it. So Wikipedia is an interesting, you know, you can't go in and say this is truth, but you can sure go in and see how truth is being authored. So Wikipedia, I think, is a more transparent and actually pretty good model for kids to learn how is knowledge developed in society. It's a microcosm of that. I think it got a bad rap very early on in the internet because it wasn't in a book that was bound with a PhD signature on the front. Now I think it's really illustrative of this exact issue. What's really concerning is that anybody, me and you, I have a blog, anybody can go out and just put up their own news system.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as you said, there's the historic legacy news sources that a lot of kids aren't even, you know, connected to anymore. The kids don't. Kids used to read the local newspaper. They don't do that anymore.
Nobody does.
Yeah, well, kids used to read national newspapers. They had to for class.
Sure.
Those are kind of gone now.
Sure. Well, that's another problem in terms of the way that we are handling as a society news and truth, is that especially in a classroom setting, it has become more common for a teaching group, an authoritative group, to tell children that truth is not an absolute and that somehow or another what is real is to a degree just what you think it should be as opposed to what it actually is, that people somehow or another hold their own truths.
Yeah, and it's important to teach people that instead I think that there is an objective truth, that the problem is attaining that, and their job is to aspire to figure out as best they can what is true in a situation. Now, that even bringing that idea into a kid's life when they're younger is helpful, but it's also puzzling because younger kids down toward the bottom age range of my continuum there and younger are really not wired yet to be that ambiguous about things. Like they think if you see it on TV or something, it must be true. Now, middle school kids will deny this, and I think they have much stronger critical thinking skills than we've ever seen before nowadays, but they do not, they're going to say, no, I don't believe everything I see. I suggest parents and teachers encourage that kind of skepticism, not because there is no truth, but because you've got to be on a march towards attaining that truth and really to talk about this with kids early on.
It's kind of funny because we were talking earlier in jest about Sky's been replaced with CG,
right,
or whatever.
That was good example.
But the funny thing is that to me, as far as for kids are concerned, one great illustration of how you can't believe everything you see is our ability. You know, it used to be that in 1950, if you wanted to show a spaceship flying on TV, you had two little fishing wires and a spaceship flying around, and it was obvious that it wasn't real. Now we can make, if somebody wanted to make a false news report, you could make it look extremely believable, the whole wag the dog type scenario, and people can't just assume because it's being reported somewhere that it is in fact a real thing, because it is easy to fabricate stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Drogon, the big dragon on Game of Thrones, I'm sure that's real. Man, it's got to be.
It could be
fire coming out of his mouth and everything. But those things really do. Like, if you can make that dragon look so realistic, it's easy to do other things. And one of the really weird things that they're talking about now, this is the next level of confusing people, is their computer algorithms now are increasingly able to take a person's speech and reformulate it to say things the person never said.
Right.
And that's just the next step. It's not perfected yet, but that's where we're headed. And so even things we usually think of as that audio is harder to fake, weirdly enough, than things with CGI, because it's hard to get people to sound like they are really talking consistently, and like I just did there. Well, now they may have that fixed so that we can fake people out. And so these are the kind of things you don't want to teach kids to be like paranoid, where they're just always looking behind a bush. That too is going to ruin our society. When we started scaring people with stranger danger, which, by the way, was never a thing, we started scaring everybody at a time when kids really are safer today than they've ever been before. So we don't want to make the fear of information like that. But we also, we've certainly seen in the last year how, shall we say, broad-ranging reality can be. And if young people aren't really thinking critically about that, they're going to be much more susceptible to the North Korea effect, where everybody just believes whatever comes down from the dear leader.
7:39, New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Depend on it. 58 right now. High today in the 80s. Hank Booth has, according to the record, that'll be coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Dr. Wes Crenshaw, Joel.
Well, you were saying before that it's not just a matter of, what you believe or what you don't. I think the more important thing is, like you were saying, that the kids be trained and understand their ability to critically think about things. That is to say, to just not accept everything that they hear and rather come to some conclusions as to whether or not it seems likely or not likely. And more importantly, whether it's true or not, how it should affect them.
Yep. And I will admit, before I say the next thing, that my wife is in fact a science teacher. But it is clearly true that the beginning of that kind of critical thinking is to understand science. And I don't mean whether you believe in evolution or not, or whatever that may be. It's to understand how science attains knowledge. And that is through, well done science is through the empirical method, where you're gathering information, testing it, revising, retesting, and so on. You don't need test tubes to do that. You and I can do that sitting here in the studio as we go through different hypotheses about whatever we're thinking about. That is really critical beyond getting a job as an engineer or all these kind of STEM things we have today. The idea of being able to think scientifically is really critical.
And so I've been bringing all of these test tubes from home every day for nothing?
You didn't need them, Joel. You could have left them at left your little instruments at home. Our brains are the instruments we need for this. And teaching kids to think that way is helpful, and yet it is not something that we universally support.
No, I was going to say, that's kind of the funny thing, because over the recent history, colleges, especially university level, but also even in high school and beyond, seem to have you know, drawn more of a emphasis or rewarding people for regurgitating information as opposed to the ones that, you know, will think on their own. And in fact, you hear stories all the time at the university level, certainly, of people turning in, you know, papers, for example, that might take a position with which the professor doesn't happen to agree and be punished for it.
Yeah, and we also see it. John and I talked about this years two ago when we were starting to see some dissent on college campuses. It's one of the things that does not help that scientific method is trying to shout down different opinions. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, there's some people presenting on college campuses that I'd like to kick off a cliff too, but that isn't my right to do that. And I may wish to show up and protest what they have to say. I might literally go do that sometimes, but when the protest is to prevent people from describing what, you know, their bad ideas, I struggle with that. That's not empiricism. That's not, as a society, gathering information and refuting or supporting those hypotheses.
No, it's dogma. It's in fact the reverse of that. And you know, it's funny because you see stuff like that, the whole Berkeley incident and other things. And you know, it's funny because it is completely antithetical to what the what you're talking about in terms of what we're supposed to be teaching our kids to do.
Yeah, and parents can work at this in the home too by saying, you know, when a kid says, "I don't know what to do about this," or "I don't understand this," or whatever, rather than give them the answer, which is so much easier, you can say, "Well, you know, how would you approach this problem? Like, what are you see as your options?" And that's going to take you about five times as long to accomplish, but in the end, it turns out better. And the more, I guarantee you, one thing is true: the more kids understand thinking and decisions as matters of free will, as opposed to because I have to, or because you said so, or because of some other external reason, the more they see it as free will and their own understanding of themselves and what they're doing, the more they're going to pick up on some positive decision making and improved behavior and thinking. That the more we tell them the answer to whatever it is, the less they can do that.
You know, I would think that it would be a problem to a degree, especially on that lower end of the age that you said, is walking that tightrope between, you know, at a lower age, kids look to their parents for as a moral compass and to understand what is ethical, what is not, and so on. And on the one hand, you want them to be critical thinkers, but on the other hand, you also don't want to end up with a child who doesn't have any moral compass at all because you've told them there is no right and wrong. There's only, you know, your opinion as to the degree of whatever you think it is on subject A
or
B.
Well, sure. If they come home and you find out they beat up their friend, one thing you can say to them is, "That's wrong. Don't do that." And I'm in agreement. It's wrong. Don't do that. The other thing you can do is walk them through the process of figuring out why that was wrong.
Right.
And that will stick longer than the lesson you just tell them because I said so. It's not that there's no right and wrong. It's that they've got to get to they've got to integrate and get to the answers themselves, or they don't have to think enough.
Well, and you can always just, you know, use the premise, do unto others as you would have, or whatever, and say, you know, use that premise and then come up with your, you know, decision as to what is right and what is wrong.
We'll have to come back to that sometime. There's an interesting correlate to the do unto others rule that makes it harder for kids. Let's not forget to talk about that in the future.
Okay.
Good conversation. Dr. West, how can people learn about you?
We are at drwest.com, and we also have our blog, familypsychological.com, where we're trying to post at least once or twice a week different materials from media and opinions and things that we have about raising kids and other issues.
Is it real or fake, though?
Well, it's real to me, Joel. It looks so real, and there's a dragon and everything. But yeah, and we are getting into the busy season, so if folks are wanting to get on, even with our two new staff members, they are getting filled up. So now is the time to make the email to us and get the forms filled out if people are interested in having services.
All right, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
We shall. Take care.